God aften og velkommen til Radio Shalom. Vi sender på 87,6 på FM-båndet og på 90,6 på hybrid. Radio Shalom sender hver aften mandag til torsdag fra kl. 18.30 til 20. Hver tredje onsdag på Yiddish. Lørdag aften kl. 22 til 24 og søndag formiddag kl. 10 til 12 sender vi ugens magasin. Søndag kl. 16 til 20 sender vi på hebraisk. Hvis man vil vide mere om radioen, kan man gå ind på hjemmesiden. Den hedder radioshalom.dk. Og herfra kan man også lytte til udsendelserne, enten via en kategori eller en dato. Og her på Radio Shalom vil vi altid gerne høre fra lytterne. Enten så kan man maile til os på adressen info@radioshalom.dk, eller også kan man ringe til os i studiet. Her er telefonnummeret 35 85 86 11. God aften og velkommen til Klismerhjørnet. I aften er det et helt specielt klismerhjørne, fordi vi har gæster fra udlandet. Vi har Daniel Rosenberg fra Toronto, og vi har Olga
Abigail,
ja, fra Israel. Og de er her i anledning af den jødiske kulturfestival, og vi skal snakke lidt om de projekter, som de har været involveret i, og som de kommer til at optræde med under festivalen. Så, welcome. Welcome to Copenhagen. Welcome to Radio Shalom. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And I guess you will be talking about the project that's called Silent Tears as the first. And it's a project which gives stories of Holocaust survivors now living in Canada, and this project is, I think, very touching. But maybe you want to talk a little more about it,
yeah,
Daniel.
Thank you so much. As you mentioned, the project is telling stories of women who are Holocaust survivors about what they went through, and also the long-term trauma that growing up as a child during the Holocaust and what it's like decades later going through post-traumatic stress. A lot of the songs on the project are from the diary and testimony of Molly Applebaum. She's now 92 years old and lives in North Toronto. She was born in 1930 in Krakow, Poland. Mm. I met her in 2019, and when the war broke out, Molly's mother, Sarah, did what a lot of mothers do, and tragically we're seeing it in Ukraine when Russia invaded. Parents will do anything possible to get their kids somewhere safer than where they are, even if they have to take them to live with strangers. Molly's mother had arranged for Molly and her older cousin Helen to live on a farm in a town called Dobrowa. It's about an hour from Krakow. And the farmer worried that neighbors would find out he was hiding Jews, ended up burying her underground under a barn. Yeah. And she kept a diary of this ordeal, describing the cold, the filth, the isolation, the hunger, and survived what none of us could even imagine surviving. And I found her story so moving and talked to Molly and her family about setting it to music. And the first thing I thought was, well, I have to call Olga Abigail Moleschuk. You know, she's known as the queen of Yiddish tango. Yes. She's dedicated her life to this subject. And few people know it more, you know, better than Olga does. And the idea was to set it to the popular music of Poland in the 1930s, the music that they would have heard, that they would have, you know, had this all not happened and had this genre not essentially been nearly wiped out. This is what, you know, was flourishing right before the war. And Olga here can talk about what was happening musically in Poland at that time.
Yeah, would be nice.
I remember when Dan called me, I was in the airport in New York, and I was coming back from the concerts of Yiddish tango, actually. So, and I was on the way back already, and he called me told me about this project, and it was already maybe 4 years ago. So it took, it was a long process till we finally set up the project all together, and we work on it quite quite long. And it was pandemic, mm-hmm. COVID in the middle, so it's disturbed a bit our plan. But even in the sea of COVID, we didn't give up, and we were trying to continue with the recordings. And we were using, as Dani said, music tango of from Poland, from Between Wars, because you can say that Poland in 30s was the world capital of Yiddish tango. Yeah. Like Buenos Aires will always be the world capital of tango, but Yiddish tango were flourish in Poland, not only Yiddish tango, so Polish tango and European tango. And in most of tango pieces were written by Polish Jews, mm-hmm. composers, mm-hmm. songwriters. Like 80% maybe of the tango That's hits in awesome. Poland were composed by Jews, and it was more than 3,000 tango pieces were written. So it was like golden era of tango, which was brutally disturbed and finished in 1939. The last tango was written probably still in September, and then then we then Jews didn't stop actually during the war. Also during Holocaust, they were also they still were writing tangos which could express their what their sorrow.
So one of the first songs that we did together is one called Sabina's Letter, and it was written by Artur Gold, and we'll talk a little bit more about this great composer a little bit later. The song Sabina's Letter was written by Molly Applebaum's best friend right before Molly went into hiding on that farm. She had hoped that her best friend Sabina Goldman would join her in hiding. They were in Dombrowa together, hiding out in an empty shoe store. And Sabina couldn't stay with Molly, and she wrote this very moving letter that Molly kept the rest of her life. She saved it for decades and decades and recently donated it to the United States Holocaust Museum. And the letter said to Molly, "I really wish I could join you in hiding on this farm, but my parents are old and in very poor health, and I have to stay with them, and whatever fate happens to them is going to happen to me. And I urge you to do everything humanly possible to survive, to prove that the Nazis' plan will be a failure." Sabina was murdered the next week. And before we get to the song, I want to play a little clip of historian Doris Bergen. She's the author of War and Genocide and uses Molly Applebaum's book in her courses at the University of Toronto. And Molly's actually spoken in Professor Bergen's course. And she has a few comments about the importance of this letter historically. And then we're going to hear Molly Applebaum read the translation of that original letter. Okay. And then after that, we're going to hear the actual song and Olga Abigail Molestchuk singing Sabina's Letter, okay, along with Pyodora Tango.
The letter that Sabina wrote in September 1942, that became Molly's most cherished possession. The symbol, if that makes sense, of the love between her and Sabina. Sabina says, "Maybe no Jews will be left. Maybe none of us will survive, but I want you to try." And I think those words coming from Sabina, whom she admired and looked up to like nobody else in the world, that gave her a kind of lifeline.
"We have never been in such a situation before, and we are helpless. I want to believe that some of us will survive, and I urge you to try. Alas, I cannot abandon my parents. Whatever fate happens to them will happen to me. Be brave and pray that we will still have a chance to meet in this life. I will always remember your devotion, your true friend Sabina."
For Molly, the letter did serve like Sabina's hand reaching out from the grave, reaching out from a cross, from death to life, and calling to her to try to stay alive and to believe in that possibility.
The next song will be Where Should I Go? Is that the title in English? Tell Me Where Can I Go? And this is your singing, of course. And I remember it from my childhood. My father had the Yiddish records. Wohin soll ich gehen? So I thought, wow, it sounds like the same, and actually it is. And I guess you can tell something more about it. You said something about the translation.
The diary of Molly Applebaum was originally in Polish. Mm-hmm. She wrote in Polish, so yeah. we wanted to translate it into Yiddish. Mm-hmm. But I was for me it was very important to keep some Polish phrases as well. That original mm-hmm. Language of Molly, but it was not so easy to set it into the music. And we had to make some changes to make it more poetical, you know, mm-hmm. to make it to find the right tone, right words which will suit to the melody. So it was a bit challenging. And into Yiddish, I recommend to Dan to work with great Yiddishist and songwriter Alexander Fish from Israel. That it's not only that he's translating, he's translator, but he also can create completely different version of the song in Yiddish, and he also is writing new Yiddish songs. So he's like continuing the this tradition of song Yiddish of Jewish lyric relativist songwriters from Poland that they are writing lyrics to the tango.
Yeah, you know, just to fill in a little bit about this song, as you said, the song "Vihin Zolakin" was a popular song from that time, and it asks, "Where can I go?" The world had no safe place for Jews, and they're asking, "Where is the safe place?" Mm. At the same time, Molly was buried underground with her cousin Helen, and in her diary, she wrote this very poetic entry when she was about 12 years old. And it's written like a 12-year-old, but it's incredibly beautiful. And she asks, you know, the world is so large, every part is inhabited by people. Maybe there's people in other places, on other planets, or maybe there's people on the moon. there's a place for every single person, every single animal, except there's no safe place in the world except for these two girls who have to lie in this box so shrunken they can't even sit up. Will they ever see the surface of the world again? This was written by a 12-year-old. In about describing about how this life underground covered in insects and filth. And so those are the words that Olga, we took the original song, Wiehin Zolokain, and added all of these lines from Molly's diary in Polish. So the song is a mix of the original Yiddish with these beautiful Polish lyrics of Molly Applebaum that Olga set to this beautiful melody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know if we should hear something from this one.
So maybe we'll play some of this, and then we'll continue with...
So which one would you...
We'll hear the song, Wiehin Zolokain. Tell me, where can I go, track number four.
Yeah, okay.
From Silent Tears.
So you want to play it?
Yeah, number four.
We shouldn't speak up.
Yeah, so You talk a little about the next song?
So, yeah, we've been listening to music from this project, Silent Tears, the last Yiddish tango. And as I mentioned at the beginning, a lot of the songs are based on the diary and testimony of Molly Applebaum, a Holocaust survivor who's 92 years old now and lives in North Toronto. And I encourage everyone to, if they get a chance, to pick up the album or listen online. A lot of the other songs we didn't have a chance to get to are from a poetry project from Dr. Paula David, who worked with women at a center called the Baycrest Center for Geriatric Care, one of the largest Jewish retirement homes in Canada, where she helped women deal with long-term trauma. And some of the other songs on the album deal with what it's like being a victim of some of the most horrific crimes you can imagine, like forced sterilization and sexual violence and human experimentation. And she helped them deal with post-traumatic stress and in a way created the treatment for this, for because so many people come through other conflicts, like victims of genocide in Rwanda and other wars, and now tragically we're seeing in Ukraine. And she's helped so many victims of these traumas deal with the long-term consequences of growing up through war. We've been focusing on the incredible testimony of Molly Applebaum. She wrote this book called Buried Words that was published in 2017 when Molly was nearly 90. And imagine this incredible story. She kept it from her children. She didn't want to traumatize them. The next song we're going to hear is called Don't Let Us Starve. And this is another song based on a letter. Towards the end of the war, Molly and her cousin Helen were starving to death. The farmer stopped feeding them. This is several years into this ordeal underground. And you can imagine the situation that they were in. They were completely helpless. The farmer, on the other hand, had these two girls under the barn in this war that seemed to never end. And if anyone discovered that he was hiding them, he and his family would be killed too. On top of all that, there's a very disturbing sexual relationship between the farmer and these two girls. The farmer was about 40. Molly was 12 when she was buried underground, 14 at this point. And that can only be described as rape. They had absolutely no, you know, this is not an age or a situation one can consent. Now, towards the end of the war, Helen was begging the farmer to continue feeding them, saying, we have nothing to give you except the clothes off our back, but don't send us out there because we will be killed. If you could keep feeding us for another season, you know, if then this doesn't end, fine, we'll take, you know, but just don't let us starve. And Molly decided, let's throw in another line to this letter and tell the farmer that I'm pregnant. She wasn't pregnant, but as a 14-year-old, she wanted to lie and say, well, maybe if I lie and say I'm pregnant, he'll have sympathy and continue feeding us. The town was liberated the next day, and they never had to give this letter to the farmer. And after the war, Helen was able to immigrate to the United States. Molly didn't have any family. These were distant cousins. Molly came to Canada after the war, not knowing a word of English or anyone in the country. And as I mentioned earlier today, she's 92. She has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren. And, you know, they're involved in education. And it's quite a remarkable story. And now, of course, these songs, her words, are being broadcast all over the world, which is quite remarkable. And so this last song we're going to hear from this project, Olga again sang, and it's based on music, again, by Artur Gold. And maybe Olga can talk about who he was and his incredible importance and what happened tragically to this great composer.
Artur Gold was one of the most talented composer before the war, and he was cooperating also with Jerzy Petersburski, another very famous Polish composer, Polish Jewish composer. And the war, of course, like I said before, stopped their creativity, and Artur has a brother, Henrik, that he was also a composer and a musician, and Henrik managed to run away to Russia. Mm-hmm. And Arthur was in a ghetto in Warsaw, was kept there, and then he was sent to the death camp. And in the death camp, even the German were amazed of his music, and they made him, they gave him the mission to create in the concentration camp some orchestra, and he managed to help some musicians from Jewish musicians who were there, because they were get some extra food, and they had a little bit better condition, but it didn't help them to survive, because just a few weeks before the camp was released, they were killed. So so Henrik, his brother, continued to, after the war, he continued his career, and Arthur died in the concentration camp. So it was, you can see that it depends probably, I don't know, it depends from the, this, no, maybe this, I don't know. You can cut it, because I've got mixed up.
Well, one thing that I think...
Destination got, and the choice of...
All I can say is that, you know, it was such a pleasure to work with Olga on this, because as you hear, I mean, there's such beautiful music created in Poland at this time. And on this album, some of the songs, especially in Paula David's project, were composed by Rebecca Wolkstein, but the majority are based on these Polish tangos. And as we were discussing earlier, it is, you know, it is obviously related to Argentinian tango, but it's quite different. And as Olga was saying, it's based on a lot of Jewish and Romani melodies. And it is really something what Olga has done in keeping their dreams and their creativity alive.
Yeah. As you say in Hebrew, kol hakavod.
Toda.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is Don't Let Us Starve.
Yeah.
Okay, no, we'll play it later.
Number nine.
Number nine. Although we can probably add it later.
Say number nine.
Yeah.
Say thank you.
Okay, so... we want to thank you very much for coming. It was very interesting.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you good luck in the festival.
And thank you.
I think you even have to go to perform in other countries than Denmark? Or
yeah, we have
with your group?
We have a plan to go to Brazil and even to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, to the...
Okay.
capital of tango.
Yes, yes.
Which I have to say is going to be quite a remarkable experience to bring this Yiddish and Polish.
And now Pajadora tango ensemble with Lena Lichtenberg, they are continuing the European tour. I'm coming back to Israel, but they will have a few more performances in Europe this summer, so maybe Dan will say a few words about it.
Yeah, in Hungary and then in Spain, if you have listeners, they'll be at the Centro Sefarad in Madrid on June 14th.
Wow, sounds very interesting. Yeah, I wish you luck.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yes, you're very welcome.
rachmones der barn. Jale wenn nicht kein Bräut, nicht vergess uns in Deut. Zaklinam was na wszystko, co święte jest. Nie odmawiajcie nam. Straszna śmierć z głodu jest. Moi ludzie drodzy, mir hoben nor auf uns die Kleide, nehm sie zu tois uns beide, gib chociażby sonst heide, Zer schwach schöne Säune, beten sich sollst zu uns schöne. Jesus wam wynagrodzi, war dein guten Tag.
Well, Marianne, thank you so much for inviting us. And the last song we heard, as we mentioned, it's Don't Let Us Starve with Olga Avigail-Maleschuk and also Aviva Chernik, a singer who sings in both Yiddish and Ladino and also Hebrew. She lives in Toronto. And the band we heard, of course, is Payadora Tango Ensemble that are based in Canada.
Yeah. And you said something that you would like to say something about Lenka Lichtenberg.
Yeah.
So
Lenka Lichtenberg is both a part of the Silent Tears project, and in 2022 she released an album called Thieves of Dreams, Songs of Theresienstadt's Secret Poetess. Lenka grew up in Prague, in what was then Czechoslovakia. And like a lot of children and grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, she didn't really know very much of what happened, because just like we heard in Molly Applebaum's story, a lot of survivors wanted to not burden their children with the horrors that they went through. And she, we have a clip of Lenka actually speaking in Danish, of all things.
That's so
you
nice.
Probably don't have a lot of musicians from around the world coming.
Who speaks Danish?
But after Lenka left Czech Republic about 40 years ago, she lived here in Denmark for a few years before immigrating to Canada. This project came about, and you will hear in this clip in a minute, when Lenka's mother died, she found some notebooks of poetry that her grandmother, Anna Hanna Frisova, had written during her incarceration at the Theresienstadt concentration camp. And Lenka approached me about this project a few years ago, and I said, Lenka, this is just absolutely remarkable. I mean, this is going to touch people, from even if you're not Jewish, because this is something that those of us who are lucky enough to get to know our grandparents, when that happens, right, your young grandparents are probably 50, 60 years older than you, and you can't really imagine what their life was like when they're young, and imagine discovering their writing from when they're in their 20s or 30s or et cetera. Kids just don't, right, get to imagine what their grandparents' life was like, and imagine this window of both her dreams and her fears and what it was like going through the war in a concentration camp. And then Lenka spent the past several years bringing these songs, these poems to life as music, and it won the Juno Award, which is Canada's top music prize. It's kind of like the Grammys
it's
of Canada.
It's one of the prizes.
And it's the first time a Czech language album has ever won in Canada, and it's quite remarkable as a way to share these stories with the world. So maybe we can hear Lenka in this real treat of introducing her project in Danish. She would be here, but she's actually rehearsing for the concert. The European premiere is at the Jewish Festival here in Copenhagen that's taking place on June 8th.
Yeah, on Thursday.
Thursday, June 8th, the very first time that this is ever going to be performed in Europe. It's quite amazing.
Really, very.
Da min mor, Jan Arne Frisova, døde i året 2016, fandt jeg to små notesbøger på hendes skrivebord i hendes lejlighed i Prag. De var fyldt med poesi, som min bedstemor, Anna Hanna Frisova, skrev i koncentrationslejren Theresien. Jeg vidste, at både min mor og bedstemor sad fængslet i Theresien under krigen. Min mor skrev en bog om det, Fortress of My Youth. Jeg vidste dog intet om min bedstemors oplevelse, og jeg vidste ikke, at hun skrev digte. Men her, i mine hænder, var henskrivende digte, og i dem min bedstemors drømme, og hendes mareridt i lejren, historier hun aldrig fortalte mig. Først troede jeg, at hæfterne tilhører et museum, men så besluttede jeg, at de fortjener at blive hørt. Jeg er musiker, og derfor forvandlede jeg disse ord til sange. Jeg følte, at jeg var ved at bringe hendes stemme til liv igen. Og så den startede Thieves of Dreams, Drømmetyve, for 6 år siden, i et projekt, der spænder over 80 år og 3 generationer.
Vor die Krom gepackt mit Säure und gessen schön mit dir. Wenn sie nicht und hab sie nicht mehr meure, stell dir vor ich laufe weg mit dir. Sie gedenkst noch leerer zum Examen, sie gedenkst a Shirley Temple Film. Wenn sie nicht, wir sehnen doch zusammen, drück mich fest, Kein Hoffnung.
leben tfu gehört nicht uns mehr nur dem dein dem Krieg. Kuschen seine Füße, wollen sie gewiss, nehmen sie die Weiß, so kommen Krieg. Ich kann nicht losen, ob mein Tate Mame, sie soll für uns den Weg beschert gewesen. Duschen von dem
gæster gode, for de har travlt andre steder. Både Olga Abigail og Daniel, de skal forberede sig, for de skal optræde flere gange i den jødiske festival. Så jeg vil prøve for at fortsætte, så godt jeg kan, selvom jeg er kun lydtekniker. Nu vil jeg være vært. Så jeg vil fortsætte med nogle brudstykker af historieinterview af Lenka Lichtenberg om hendes projekt The Thieves of Dreams, eller drømmetyve på dansk. Det er sådan, at jeg vil sætte nogle brudstykker efterfulgt af nogle af hendes sange fra hendes CD. Og før hver sang, så vil jeg nævne sangnummer, der er på den CD, jeg afspiller.
Run, run, you little human. That's a poem that talks about something that probably prisoners anywhere, anytime would be thinking about. And that is getting away from the hell where they were. It seems to suggest that even if you get away physically from a place, you cannot get away from yourself, from being human, from your own heart. Run, run, you little human, the winner will be the one who gets away. Each road leads to a remote horizon, but never far away enough from man. Run from your words, your betrayals. From now on, you'll always be on the run, but you'll never escape yourself, nor your heart. When you've outrun your last ounce of joy, tired from running, barefoot, in tatters, you'll find yourself spinning around your own axis.
Det er sang nummer 7 på CD.
Člověče, vždyť vyhraje ten, kdo uteče. Každá ta cesta jde do daleka, není daleko od člověka.
Utíkej, 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 utíkej,
utíkej, utíkej od svých slov a zrad, teď budeš věčně jen utíkat. To není útěk, to si jen vlečeš, sobě a srdci neutečeš. Až utečeš poslední radosti, teprv se naučíš rychlosti. Útěkem znavený, zedraný, bosý, budeš se otáčet kolem své osy.
Utíkej, 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 utíkej.
Útěkem znavený, zedraný, bosý, budeš se otáčet kolem své osy. Útěkem znavený, zedraný, bosý, budeš se otáčet kolem své osy.
It was a cold dusk, my love. That's a poem that my grandmother, Anahana Frizova, wrote in Terezin, the concentration camp where she was imprisoned during World War II. It was a cold dusk, my love, when we were saying our goodbyes with aching hand and dead word. With our last tear, the final darkness fell and God couldn't see our faces. The end fell into our eyes like a stone onto a mirror. Only the wind wanted to know what was going on. My grandmother is most likely describing the last moments spent with her husband Richard the night before he was taken to Auschwitz. It mentions the world's indifference to the plight of the Jews. Well, it seemed like nobody cared, only the wind. And it also says that we should cherish our pain, because if you're hurting, it means the heart is still alive. It's powerful and it's bleak, as opposed to most of the poems that my grandmother wrote. It was probably written in the final months after Richard and many others were gone.
Det er sang nummer 5.
Studený soumrak byl můj milý, když my dva jsme se loučili. Dojatou rukou a mrtvým slovem mrtví se ptali hlasem věčnosti, smích jejich ticha se nesl do polí a vesmír schlazoval žár naší žalosti. Bolest je chvíle, věčnost už nebolí. Slzou i poslední tma spadla a Bůh nám neviděl v obličeje. Konec spad do očí jak kámen do zrcadla, jen vítr chtěl vědět, co se to děje. Dokud se koupe v horkých slz lázni, je srdce živo a dotud cítí. Mažte si hoře, vy šťastní blázni, bolest je život, bolest je bytí. Nic nežije, taky nic nebolí. My už jen hledíme ze slepých zřítelnic na živé bolesti šťastného okolí.
I have my own grief. That's a poem that my grandmother wrote, and I set it to music. And then I added my mother's voice to connect the three generations of us women. My mom talks about what it felt like before she and her parents were deported to Terezín.
Det er sang nummer 14 på CD.
14 dní do transportu. Doufám a věřím, že se vrátíme.
Mám vlastní trot, však i tvůj žas na ty ještě unesu a po tobě ma padnuli, já padnu bez hlesu.
Nejsmutnější chodba mého života, protože je to chodba k dveřím, kde jsem měla šťastné chvíle se svojí rodinou a tady jsou ty dveře, kde byla mosazná tabulka Richard Fries a kde jsme naposledy 17. prosince 1942 zamkli dveře s povinností ty klíče dovést do Hradce Králové, kde nás soustředovali jako všechny Židy z toho hradeckého okresu nebo část. To byly tisíc lidí vždycky v každém transportu a tam se muselo na stole odevzdat všechno, včetně klíčů.
Tvůj žal snad ještě unesu a po tobě má padnuli, já padnu bez hlesu.
Hlesu.
I wanted to curse you, my bitter homeland, because you betrayed so badly my faith and my love for you. That's another poem that my grandmother wrote in Theresienstadt, and I'm sure that it conveys the feelings of many Czech Jews who felt betrayed by a country they loved so much. In my own family, there was no shortage of betrayals. My great-grandparents were reported anonymously to the German authorities that they were storing food, and as a result, they got arrested, and my great-grandfather was shot, and my great-grandmother was sent to Auschwitz, where she was murdered.
Yeah, number 11 på CD.
Proklít hořká zemi, protože jsi tak divně zacházela s mou vírou a nadějemi, protože zlhala, že lhala si celá. Chtěla jsem tě proklít, známá stráni, již dáva květy vyrostly pro jinou. Zrada tvá zrada, dnes nese slitování, ať jak mé radosti tvé květy zahynou. Všechna místa, kde jsem šťastná byla, náhle srdce změklo, jako když se zlomí. Místo toho jsem se tiše pomodlila, vždyť tam byly v květu všechny stromy. Tak divně zacházela s mou vírou a nadějemi, protože selhala, že lhala si celá. Chtěla jsem tě proklít, známá stráni, již dáva květy vyrostly pro jinou. Zrada tvá zrada nesnese slitování, ať jak mé radosti tvé květy zahynou. Všechna místa, kde jsem šťastná byla, náhle srdce změklo, jako když se zlomí. Místo toho jsem se tiše pomodlila, že teď tam byly v květu všechny stromy.
My mom's family stems from Josefov in Czechoslovakia, and with other Jewish families from the area, they were deported on a transport to Terezín in December 1942. And once in Terezín, they were separated. My mom ended up living in Metchenheim, which was for young girls where they lived together. My grandfather Richard, he had to endure forced labor for the next 2 years. In the fall of 1944, he was sent by train to Auschwitz, where he was murdered. Whereas my grandmother and my mom, they survived in Terezin until liberation in May 1945.
Ja, det er sang nummer 12 på CD. Sang nummer 13 på CD.
Ženeme čas, točíme kolem dějin, ubíhá mlhou poraněná loď, z taklamných světel stěžuje nám cestu, sta slabých zpomalit by chtělo chod. Loď světa jede, plná umírání, kormidlo chcem, vedem o něj boj. Svět se letí, se vzpírá, pustit příčky, loď kolísá a vyne. Stroj. Strach ze vzpoury nad příč zved šibenici, všem ústa zacpat krvavý chce dráb. Chvilku to
jen, co jste nás neslyšeli, však hlas náš proto nezesláb. Loď světa nikdo zkázy neuchrání, než my a námi dobývaný řád. Nad její stožár zvednem vlajku naší, mohou nás držet, ne však udolat. Neustal boj, paluba praští odkročeně, nad její stožár zvednem vlajku naší, mohou nás držet, ne však udolat, mohou nás držet, ne však udolat.
Sang nummer 15 på CD. Sang nummer 16 på CD.
Ja, va, 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 va
Ja, velkommen tilbage til en af vores gæster, som er både Olga Avigal Virishuk, som er kaldt den jiddisch tangos dronning i vores tid. Tangoen blev født lige før afslutningen af 1800-tallet i Buenos Aires, som en ny art musik med en blanding, eller popuri, af italiensk, spansk, fransk og østeuropæisk jødisk immigranterkultur. Kulturer og afro-argentisk rytmer. Buenos Aires blev hovedstad for den argentiske tango. I 1910'erne tog tango Vesteuropa med storm og nåede snart Østeuropa. Balsale og kabaretter fremhævede den latinsk-amerikanske import. Komponister, jøder blandt dem, begyndte at skrive nye tangoer. I omkring 1900, Warszawa i Polen blev Østeuropa hovedstaden for jiddisch tango. Under Holocaust blev tango uundgåeligt en del af livet i ghettoer og koncentrationslejre, hvor den nu på jiddisch igen blev vedtaget som et redskab til at undertrykke eller udtrykke de indsattes oplevelse om deres håb om frihed. Ikke alene tillod nazisterne den musik, de tvang kapelmester, lejrenorske orkestre til at spille dødens tango for at ledsage frankerne, da de blev marcheret i gaskamrene. Under anderledes og glade omstændigheder skrev jødisk musikere, der boede i Buenos Aires og New York, hvor her mange var immigranter, jiddisch tango til de jiddiske teater, musikals og jødiske revyer. Tangoens blandede natur forklarer sandsynligvis, hvorfor den konstant er blevet omfavnet og forvandlet under sine ekstraordinære rejse i verden. Jiddisch tango er nu en episode et eksempel på jødernes tendens til at tilpasse sig deres adoptive land og også mere generelt i den gensidige accept og frugtbare interaktion mellem folk. Jeg vil begynde at spille en argentinsk tango fra omkring 1920. Thank you. Jeg vil nu spille en spansk tango.
Thank you.
vil jeg selvfølgelig spille en jiddisch tango, sunget af Olga Avigal Mielischuk, som hedder Old Polish Tango. Tak for i dag, og tak for I lyttede vores udsendelse på Radio Shalom og på genhør. Og til sidst lidt fransk tango.